Oh, yes, many are invited to the ball, but who gets to dance, right? The every four-year flirtation over who will be named running mate to the White House challenger has become a cotillion. Making an appearance is no guarantee of an outcome. Indeed, more than one contender has called the running mate sweepstakes the biggest second prize in American politics. First prize is not being asked to be someone's vice president. And in the Mitt Romney Veep stakes, New Jersey Governor Chris Christie may be a contender for this first prize.
Sometimes you may look at me and think I'm spoiling for a fight. Not all the time. But I tell you this, I'm going to fight for the things that are worth fighting for. My mother used to tell me all the time, Christopher, be yourself. Because if you are, then you're not going to have to worry tomorrow about remembering who you pretended to be yesterday. So, ladies and gentlemen, this is it. What you see is what you get.
Ladies and gentlemen, Governor Chris Christie.
Oh, man, it is that kind of charisma, charm, and passion that made Christie highly coveted as a candidate when GOP high rollers were trying to convince him to enter the presidential race months ago. He declined. It keeps him on the short list to be named a Romney running mate, though, as well. Joining us is New Jersey native and contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer WNYC, Bob Henley. Welcome back to the show, Bob.
Thanks for having me.
Your governor, you've had plenty of FaceTime.
Also, my neighbor,
Chris,
we live
Christie.
In the same town.
That's right. That's right. So before we have you remind us about Christie's political bio and why he is so successful, how risky is Christie for Romney, and how risky is Romney for Christie's political future?
Well, certainly for Christie to join Romney in this effort, in their mind, to restore America. If Romney loses, then he looks like a good yeoman who put his back and put something at risk for the party and for his grand vision. For Romney, it's a wild card. But you know what? I've got to confess, I want to see Vice President Joe Biden and Chris Christie in a debate to watch both campaigns go insane.
Yeah, that would be absolutely. And it really, that speaks to why Christie has been successful. He speaks from the heart. He's a very genuine character. And people have found that throughout his political career. He went from a small town Republican politician. Now he's a huge name, perhaps.
Lost a couple of elections, right. Yeah.
Exactly. So let's begin.
Well, I think the thing with Chris Christie, he was a freeholder in Morris County, wanted reform, ethics reform, got into trouble, spoke his mind, got into a libel suit with a contractor who was going to do work for the county, and then just basically got dumped and then went to work as a lawyer and a lobbyist, then got picked by George Bush. He and his brother Todd were major contributors. They were Bush pioneers, gave $500,000 to camp, and he was made U.S. attorney.
And so in a sense, he has some of the same credentials that Rudolph Giuliani has. Here, listen.
Exactly.
There is always a boulevard that exists between getting everything you want and compromising your principles. Now, I'm not going to compromise my principles. I don't ask anybody else to. But I also know I'm not going to get everything I want.
Now, that is spoken like a lawyer. He's someone who, as a U.S. attorney, fought corruption and is all about principle.
Right.
Exactly. Has he maintained that sense of a principled outlook?
There's a pragmatism to him. I mean, he will go out and do vicious battle with someone. A good example would be the teachers union. He came in, fiscal austerity. He asked them to get a simple pay freeze so they wouldn't have to fire new hires. The NGA, New Jersey Education Association, estimated who they were dealing with, blew him off. That sent him into orbit at that point because he looked like he was being reasonable. And even teachers were telling me, gosh, our union really made Chris Christie, if you will, because they weren't reasonable. 2 years later, after brick-a-bat fighting back and forth where he really used the union as something to go after, there's major tenure reform on the verge of New Jersey because he got the NGA to come to the table. They got seniority, but there is going to be – this is the state that had the oldest tenure law in the United States. It's going to have this major reform because he peeled off – it went unanimously through the Assembly and Senate. So he forged this kind of bipartisan coalition with some Democrats, and that's his skill, the ability to peel off key Democrats.
So when he was shut down initially by the union, he saw it as a political opportunity. It elevated him as a powerful character in the state. Then he came back, compromised in the legislature, and got some real change.
Exactly.
That's a huge accomplishment.
Right.
He also made national headlines turning down that federal infrastructure money.
Right, exactly. He saw that the big dig, he was thinking of the big dig in Boston. This was going to be the ARC tunnel that was going to go from a rail tunnel, which New Jersey and New York need, but the federal government, he was concerned, were not going to pick up the huge cost overrun. He's a former U.S. attorney. He knows how these jobs just balloon, and he stood up against it.
And he uses the internet very, very well. He has a community of characters who will do almost anything for him. Here's one.
Actually, I always Google looking to find out an event with Chris Christie, because for months and months. And then finally I saw this online, so there was my chance to take a day off from my part-time job and drive here with my girlfriend.
A fellow named Robert Carley from Connecticut at a Bergen County political event.
This is what's interesting about this. He has come up with a strategy that really vaults right over the Fourth Estate. As a reporter at these town halls, that's his secret weapon. He's had like almost 90 of them. It's a humbling thing in the sense he submits himself to the public. Sure, they pack it with some people. They call up the party faithful, but the public can come, and Democrats do come and try to take him on. And what he does is he has two technicians who immediately, internet technicians, who uplink what he's saying right onto the internet. So you're, as a reporter, you're like what I refer to as a prop with a pad. Your presence there reinforces his importance to the media, but he won't address any questions from the media, so he creates his own narrative. It's genius.
He's holding a news conference with the entire world. He doesn't need to bother with Bob Henley. There you go. That is genius. All right, who doesn't like Chris Christie? And we'll hear from a critic in a moment.
Right. I think what happens is there are Democrats who feel like what Christie's done very successful is use John Corzine's decline. As we know, he was major, and he was the leader of the party. He beat him, and so he's continuing to tie the Democrats, the portion he hasn't picked off, that want to hold out for a millionaire's tax, because they feel that the top 1% have continued to benefit from the Bush tax cuts and the continuation of them. And he ties them to Corzine, who, of course, has anyone seen John Corzine lately?
And let's listen to Janet Mandel, who's a West Orange resident, who actually went to that Cedar Grove event that we've been playing the tape from. It's one of these town halls. Listen.
He just uses it as a way to then talk about what he wants to talk about all his accomplishments, and never talks about the fact that we have more poverty in New Jersey than we've ever had. We've gone over the 10% mark. He talks about how he's saving us all this money, and it's at the expense of the population that is falling into poverty.
Now, he's not going to be convincing people like that, but he doesn't want to.
No, what happens here, though, is he will entertain questions from them. And that's the thing about it, is that he is doing the work of a public servant by submitting himself to the crucible. I don't think Obama or Romney could do it.
At an event last night, here was some of the supporters of Chris Christie's response to a question from one of our producers about being number two on the Romney ticket.
I don't think he wants to be a number two.
Would you want him to be?
How? I would love him to be vice president, of course.
No, he needs to stay and fix New Jersey. See,
but I don't think he's a number two type of person.
It's questions from Scott Gurian,
that's really
Takeaways
critical.
Producer. Isn't that interesting?
What's interesting here is also, remember, he has actually trying to get this 10% across the board income tax cut. In the coming budget, there's a big standoff right now about he's about to veto the Democratic budget. And one of the things is that he based this on a revenue projection of more than 7% growth of revenue for next year, which if that comes to pass,
that's crazy,
well, that's like
China.
That means Romney should stand down and that Obama fix the economy. And so now what's happening is there's the gap in the revenue that's coming is anywhere between $700 to $1.4 billion between this year and next. So in essence, if he was to move away, it would mean he wouldn't stick around for the hardest part of the lift. Like his he did bipartisan pension reform. Our public pension was on the verge of implosion. He did work out a bipartisan and compromise with that, but the heavy lifting is going to come when he has to pay $5 billion in 1 year out of a $30 billion budget. So if he walks away, then he won't have finished the work he committed to do. That's
all
the
right.
problem.
So who's he watching more? Mitt Romney there on the campaign trail, or is he watching across the river in Albany at Governor Cuomo in New York?
Exactly,
yes,
series.
For 2016.
You read my mind.
Number
exactly.
two?
The clash of the Titans. I think there's no doubt that it's interesting because Cuomo ran a kind of Christie-like campaign. I covered both, and that's one of the things that I saw is that Cuomo picked up on some of the same themes that Christie was doing about renegotiating the social contract between public workers and the state.
All right, so if Christie wants to face Cuomo in 2016, does he take the number two position if it's offered from Mitt Romney?
I think he could do, it could go either way. Yes,
oh,
he could.
Oh, Bob.
Yeah, no, I
it
really,
could
listen,
go either
I'm,
way.
It could. I'm not going to predict Chris Christie. I am not.
All right, very good. Bob Henley, contributing editor for Politics and Investigations for our co-producer WNYC on the Chris Christie possibility to be Mitt Romney's running mate. Thanks, Bob.
Thanks.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, are politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.